Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I am OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love.
And I'm back. I've been overwhelmed. I mean, not that Lucia hasn't been. I'm just easier shook, I think.
Well, you had to deal with something that was kind of like outside of your usual stressors. And like for me, moving has become such a regular part of my experience of pain
that it's I'm just like, oh. It's like and you're not like a lot, like that's like everyone I know like has to move like every year or 2 years or more. It's just I had a situation that I was very careful about maintaining for 7 years, and it, you know, it was like it was a lot to move out of that house, and not just because it was just me, it was also six other people all moving at the same time and having to help each other during a quarantine when, like, in normal times, like, yeah, you get five friends to come help you, and it's right. Not that big a deal. But, like, yeah, just everyone having to help each other move into, like, basically, like, emergency accommodations, like, for the majority of our household, like, it's extremely a huge move. Like, it was like so much logistics and bullshit, and like also yet dealing with these landlords who we didn't know what they were capable of. Like, they, you know, came and harassed us. There was like this like scary car that pulled up that like was from this like quick evict company that like is like total bullshit, like has like a little monopoly man kicking out a tenant on the side of the car, like, and like that showed up at the same time our landlord came to harass us in person. And it was just like, is this a coincidence? They both have Florida plates. Like, we just had no idea.
Yeah, you guys were tweaking.
Yeah. It's like, it's a lot. Like, and, you know, this is like, folks, like our landlords, like we had a pretty good relationship with for the past 7 years. And for it to just turn on a dime, I think just like freaked everyone out. Like, and it was hard, like, to convince everyone like this is the right thing. Like, we don't, you know, the unemployment website is terrible. Like, how are we going to be able to pay if we still haven't gotten any payments from this, if we still, you know,
right,
like if our jobs have no signs of coming back at all, like how is this going to work? We're gonna have to fucking confront this, and it's gonna suck. And of course it did, but that's just how this shit goes.
Yes, it is. I don't know, just in terms of my move and everything, it was kind of interesting because, like, I'm in this prediction business now, where it was a couple of months ago, and I was talking to everyone, like, so what, should we, like, organize and possibly try to talk to the landlords as a unit, like, should we figure this out? And then everyone's like, nah, I think it's going to be fine. Our landlord's really nice. And then June 1st rolls around, and a bunch of the units in our building had to move at the same time as well. And the landlords jacked up the rent between $300 and $500 a unit, which was
insane,
disgusting and illegal and fucked up.
It's so fucked up. I mean, luckily, I was able to galvanize all my housemates on April 1st to not pay. And so at least, like, at the end of all of this, we didn't pay April, May, or June.
Right.
Suckers. So there's that.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it was extremely bullshit. And, yeah, just too much, you know.
Yeah,
just too much. And that's what's so fucked up, is that millions and millions of people all around the country are dealing with these like exact situations, or way worse situations, like landlords cutting off their utilities illegally, like you know, threat being like legit like threatening with weapons, like all this sort of
shit, like
it's just happening all and Cuomo and stuff is enabling that sort of shit by refusing to act. He's just putting everyone out to the wolves, basically. It's disgusting, and make no mistake, like this is like one of the factors of people being angry enough to just like be like, well, fuck getting COVID, I'm going out in the streets, like I'm done, like we have nothing left to lose,
right? But everybody is pretty conscious of that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's like there's not really anyone able to make a solid case of like, I just don't know where this is coming from.
Yeah. But they're throwing liberals throwing a bunch of spaghetti against the wall, trying to see if like any of their bullshit will stick. Like, oh look, remember when everyone was mad at the statues? We took down the statues.
Took
down the statues. Look, some of the cops are kneeling.
Oh god.
Oh look, we painted a mural.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, there are those sort of like optical little band-aids that people are throwing out, but then there's some reform that is being implemented. Like, I'm excited to see if that 50A will be repealed, and then we can get like some transparency. Yeah. That would be nice in police dealings, like that, because right now it's like the law is that they don't have to disclose anything that they're doing, and I think that might also be the reason why they're allowed to be like covering their badge numbers and stuff.
It's so wild.
It's like, yeah, you're not allowed to really look into the dealings of these cops, and like I don't know.
Yeah, like part of like in Minneapolis, like the Derek Chauvin motherfucker, he like there was actually a record for people to go into and be like, look, in 2008 he also killed an indigenous person.
Yeah, like, he has 12 counts of police brutality against him, and he was hired back every single time after being suspended, and then just, you know, because he's in this really great cop union, which by the way, AFL-CIO, maybe think about like not
you
supporting
fucking
that
cowards.
Yeah, maybe just think
cowards.
About it.
They did, and the fucking head or president or whatever.
Yeah, he was like, no, we're not cutting ties with them.
We can't. We got to invite them into our movement. We got to invite the people who are killing our movement into our movement. Fucking idiots.
Yeah. No, of course. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, somebody who I saw like was like, you know, this is why people think that the AFL-CIO is like working with the CIA, you know, AFL-CIO.
Right.
Like, you know, this is why people say that. Like,
well, it's not like it matters though, because if you have the power and you're siding with the most like lethal, you know, technically non-military force, although the lines are blurring every day, like then there's not really anyone to hold you accountable for making kind of shady deals, you know?
Oh, right. So, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's like critics be damned.
Helps their leadership's bottom line. Like, you know, it's like the problem with like conservative union hierarchies, like and shit, like I don't want to go too off the rails, but like one thing was like I've been trying, like throughout all the COVID stuff, I've been really heavily paying attention to the transit workers and the educators. The movement of rank and file educators is one, and then local TWU local 100 Fight Back are both like, they're like these groups that are like the more militant rank and file wing of these unions.
Yeah.
And they're really awesome. And if we had a union leadership that was channeling the energy of the rank and file right now, we'd be accomplishing a lot more like meaningful reforms way faster, but it's just clear that it's not there at the leadership. Like today, there's a big educators and teachers rally in support of Black Lives Matter. Like yesterday, there was one for healthcare workers, like the transit workers. Of course, it went around are refusing to transport protesters on behalf of the police. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. Minneapolis has been making amazing gains with like severing contracts with the police entirely through.
Yeah. And then it was pretty cool. In California, the budgets for the police were cut
a pretty small amount in all things considered, but that's never really happened before.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's interesting to see the way that that will affect them going forward. And just like, even though it's a small amount, you know, you see statistics like one cop's riot gear is enough to give 30 nurses PPE.
It's so insane. Like, I love the charts of like public sector budgets, and it's just like the drill candles tweet.
Yeah.
Like, somebody help me. Like, it's so insane how like it's like every city is like this, how the bar for the police is just like no joke, like 20 times larger than every other budget.
No, absolutely. And it's wild now because it's like the author of The End to Policing or whatever. Alex Vitale is kind of becoming like this, he's like a lib whisperer now or something, where he's like, let's talk about budgets all together. I'm going to do a tour of NPR for the next probably year or so. And we're going to discuss the ways that society has been built on like policing issues into becoming like major catastrophes instead of allocating funds into other public resources. Like, and it's such an obvious situation to everybody who exists and like survives through these like programs of austerity, but we don't have any way to actually like affect policy because they're in such a bubble of protection. Mm-hmm. That like, you know, and it's like cops are the one public program that the wealthy still rely on because everything else in their lives have been, you know, privatized to the point where they're like, oh, healthcare, whatever. Like, I have my own doctor who lives in a shed. Like,
my kids go to private school. Why do I give a shit? Like,
yeah, it's like, defund the public schools, defund public health care, defund like any kind of, you know, like what even is like mental health, you know, why do we need therapy? Why do we need social workers? Why do we need any of this stuff? Like just throw a cop on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it gets such a lion's share of the budget, because like, you know, for one thing, they have the guns, and it's just like easier to just solve their, you know, because they, you know, they know, I think on some level, like that they have way more than everyone else, and they need the police to protect that privatization from everyone else. Yeah, but they're fucking greedy as shit. And like, the amazing thing about COVID is it's like they're forced to reckon with, like, if we don't have good public health, you don't have a place, like you don't have a society. Like, you don't have, like, you don't get to have anything. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I think it's really interesting too, because it's like the cops are starting to realize that their own health is also being jeopardized now that they're forced to work like 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. They're starting to also become fatigued and they're like cracking.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see like how many breaking points there are. And then also that like knowingly, because all of us are being left out to kind of hang. And then the White House is just being like wrapped and wrapped in miles and miles of fencing and like, And then our dear president has become a bunker boy.
Oh my God. It's just, I'm so marveled by like that every single cop is has to work right now in New York City, every single cop. And they're all working like 12, at least like at least 8 hours, but like 12 hour overtime shifts, like all constantly.
I heard another statistic saying that about six cops a day are resigning now.
Yeah, I heard that too. I think that's really interesting. Like I want it to be, we got to get those numbers up, right? Got to get those numbers up. It's because, I mean, they a lot of them, like, it doesn't go with their hero fantasy when, like, literally everyone fucking despises them. Like, they have, there's no...
it's like they don't get the chance to feel vindicated, and then they also don't get the chance to just go on like chill donut eating patrol.
No, not anymore. They're making them work. All the protesters are making them work the whole 12 hours. Like, it's just incredible. Like, I'm so impressed with like, cause I was thinking about how we did an episode about, FTP 3, which was one of the like, decolonize this place's actions when the police when the MTA hired like 400 police officers to do transit fare evasion crackdowns that were like extremely brutal, and like people were beat up over $2.75 I remember when you and I were at one of those. It might have been FTP 2, actually.
It was FTP 2. Yeah.
And like, I remember we were like, yeah, this is like really beautiful action, and like it's nice to be here with people who are like-minded, but it's not going to make a big meaningful change until people are literally coming out of their homes into the street. And the amazing thing about these more spontaneous actions around George Floyd's death and Breonna Taylor's death is that people are literally like pouring out of their homes into the street whenever they see a protest, that and the protests are just like popping up in like every neighborhood. Like it's incredible.
It is. I went, I was out yesterday, for Breonna Taylor's birthday, and, it was wild. We went and we marched, to a precinct, and, gotta say, it was a little bit scary, you know? Yeah. It was a little scary. We all marched.
You after curfew?
And, no, it was during the day.
But even even those are scary.
Because we went straight to the precinct, and then we just like filled the street around the building, and then we like sat down, and all these cops were in their like shields and like, you know, they were all suited up.
Yeah.
And there were like drones flying all around us, and this was just a peaceful protest, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
during the day, yeah.
Yeah, during the day, totally peaceful, you know, and we were announcing ourselves as peaceful, like with our hands up and just like, okay, we're just gonna sit here. Is that all right? Like, can you not kill us? Would that be cool? And I mean, like, the cops, you know, it was actually pretty funny because after talking about, you know, announcing ourselves, the reason why we were there and everything. One of the organizers of the protest wanted to do the like, let's get a cop to take a knee thing, which everyone was kind of like, oh God, can we not? like, you know, cops and protesters alike were just like, oh, can we just fucking please? Like, no. And finally there was just this one cop who like knelt down in the center of all of us. And it was kind of this weird image because, you know, it's like the one fall guy that who's like, okay, I'll do it. And then we're all like screaming and just like, ah, you're on the ground now. Ah, look at you.
Oh my God.
It's like, wait, this is bizarre.
The kneeling thing seems like such an op. Like, I don't like.
Well, it was like incredibly humiliating for that guy.
That one guy. But it's like when they're all doing like, because I'm just like, why, like, ugh.
For me, it just seems weird because it's like the knee is the murder weapon.
Yeah.
Why are we like all, why is this such a knee focused protest right now?
No, it doesn't have to be like that. And for an, I don't know what like type of organizer is like making that a priority. Like, I wonder who the organizer even was. That's all I'm saying.
Oh no, of course. And for reasons of like not locating me, I will
yes.
not say.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just strange. There's a lot of strange stuff going on. Like, yeah, I wanted to talk about like to like because I don't know. This is going back a couple weeks, but in Minneapolis, like people were able to pretty clearly identify like when a cop started setting fire and breaking windows at the AutoZone, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
They're getting weeded out. It's pretty awesome. You know, I would just say, yeah, something I've found is that like, it's harder to do a lasting protest unless the protest is grounded in like pre-existing community groups that are like at the head of the organizing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Because people have stopped trusting a lot of the information that they're seeing online too. Cause like I've been following a little bit of the culture around police scanning and just seeing that there are all of these different like false flags being unfurled where they're like, oh, you know, there are busloads of Antifa being, you know, loaded up and trucked into the cities and you have to watch out because they're going to be at so-and-so location at this time. And it's like people listening to the police scanners believe it and then they start boarding up their parts of the neighborhood, and this is happening in multiple cities, but most like markedly there was a really big kind of kerfuffle around the Chicago area because there was like all of these reports and it kept being recycled through Twitter as well, and people are saying like, oh, get ready, there's this busload of protesters coming in, this is definitely happening. And meanwhile, like, cops are also responding to it as if they were taking care of the issue to make it seem like they were dealing with protesters.
It's just bizarre, because it's like, why would you need a busload of protesters to come into Chicago? Like, everyone in Chicago is fucking pissed. Like,
right, yeah. But that's the thing. It's like these weird alt-right trolls, yeah, turns out, are just kind of messing around with the trajectory of protests and trying to get people to potentially go to a place where they can then just, you know, it's like if you're on Twitter and you see, oh, it's okay, I'm going to meet this whole big crowd, and then right. You show up at a place and no one's there except for cops, then right. You get... You know, it's
then
a
you're
trap.
Kettled, and then you're in prison, and then your habeas corpus is suspended, and you're stuck yeah. there for fucking 48 hours. God yeah. damn. In COVID zone. God damn. Just awful.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, God, I've been sort of helping a friend out this week. The incident is sort of neutralized at this point, but... Oh,
that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, there's still court dates and stuff,
Jesus.
But yeah, the state of policing is wild, and the state of people's mental health is wild, too, because a friend of mine recently just had to go through the system because of something that was non-protest related, which is just kind of absolutely terrifying. Like, you know, that... that basically there is still like a working system of arrests going on, like I don't know
yeah.
how to even
yeah the yeah. police state existed before all of this shit, like, especially for Black and brown people, like, it's a terrifying thing to go through even before COVID, even before massive civil unrest. It's a terrifying fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. So my friend is brown and had recently just, you know, this past week gone through an incident where he had to deal with a racist policing experience where he was taken out of his house for false charges. And he was brought into this precinct, which was the same precinct that I marched to.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit scary because when I, so when my friend went in, I was like, oh damn, I know how to deal with this because a few months ago I had to get my coworker out of jail.
Yeah.
And, one thing for sure is that like cops will just fucking push you around and leave you in there and make it take a really, really long time for you to go through something that should be a simple procedure. So if your friends do get put in jail, there is a way to track them and to stay like conscious of where they are in the system because they move from place to place and it gets super screwed up. But you can do things on the outside to be present for them. So one of the things is like, if your friends go into jail for whatever reason, protests or otherwise, you can go to the precinct where they are taken in and, you can write down phone numbers for them because they won't have their, they don't have any way to access, you know, their phone books. And if it was sort of an incident where they didn't have time to write
yeah.
any numbers on their arm or leg or whatever, then they have no way of contacting anyone.
Yeah.
So you, so go to the precinct where they get taken in and get a piece of paper with your number, with lawyer's numbers, with jail support numbers, and make sure that they get it. And one of the ways you can make sure that they get it, because cops are fucking assholes, is you stay there until you get a call from your friend, or you go close by and you wait close by because, yeah, it'll take them fucking hours just to give your friend a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So they did, which is good. So, and if they don't, just go back every hour. There, you can't get in trouble for trying to hand your friend's phone numbers. So just keep going back until they get the numbers. But then after you do that, you know, that you have to wait. But, one thing you can do is, set up a contingency plan with your friends. If they go in, you can say like, okay, I'm going to wait for X amount of hours. And for this time it was at night. So they were like, if you don't hear from me by noon tomorrow, let's go to phase two. Now, phase two is like if your friend goes into a precinct, then they get sent to central booking. And there's a whole bunch of different central booking stations around the city in all the boroughs. So you just have to make sure that you know which one they're going to. Now, it's sort of like difficult to get in touch with people there because the everyone running it doesn't give a shit, basically. So when I called central booking, I was like, hey, do you know, is this person there? And they were like, we don't even know that name. We don't even know what you're talking about. Now, this is fucking bullshit. They know what you're talking about. They just don't want to help.
They don't
want to
do any work.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where if you have like major Karen energy and you're like, you're like, let me speak to the manager.
Use
that. Harass them. Use them. If you have that energy, this is a perfect place to put that. So yeah, go big, big Karen on them. And what you want to do?
Yeah,
is
I remember.
You
I remember
get,
at this point, I was like, if we could, if we need to just start getting a bunch of Karens, like if I could call, like this bunch of people need to call.
Oh yeah. And then I was like, yeah. No worries, dude. We got a Karen team already working on it.
Do we need more Karens? How many more Karens do we need?
More Karens, stat. 100 CCs. So we got a team of Karens going, and what you want to do when you call central booking, you want to get your friend's arrest number. So with the arrest number, it'll be easier to track them like online, and it's easier. You can like, because there's like 311 services. There's also like everything gets tracked in multiple ways. Anyway, so once you have an arrest number, it's easier for them to locate your person, and you want to have that. And then you want to also check, because it will let you know if they go into arraignment. So basically, once you do that, you can also then go to jail support and go to like the National Lawyers Guild, and you can ask them like about the specifics of the case, because this time it was pretty different than when my coworker was taken in.
Yeah.
Because basically they're different colors.
Yeah.
So what happened with this one, and it's different circumstances. So after talking to my friend, what happened was I found out like on the inside, basically everything is organized in a different way, where the cops right now are expediting protesters who get arrested. But they're doing it in such a way where they put all of the protesters kind of like on display of people who are in regular jail to build this sort of dichotomy, where it's like protesters then end up seeming like bougie. And it's like, oh, look at them. They're just taking a little vacation and going into jail, like they're visiting. And meanwhile, all of us are just being kind of like left here to watch them come and go.
Ugh.
So it's kind of, it's fucked up. And because they're just leaving people to hang out and whatever, if you keep calling and if you keep mentioning from the outside, like, no, I need to know where this person is. I need to know what the status is of their arrest. Like, have you processed them? Have they gone into arraignment? Are you letting them out? If you keep bothering them, they will be like, oh, I will take care of this faster. And if you do like lose track of them, or if they say like, oh, we don't know where that person is, or they give you trouble, then you can escalate and be like, well, I'm going to get you guys in trouble now if you don't tell me where my person is.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we got them out.
it's so nerve-wracking though, because there's a clear suspension of habeas corpus happening in New York City right now. You never know when the NYPD is just going to decide to like, however they do it, Merc de Blasio, and just go full police state on us. Everyone stuck on the inside might be stuck on the inside for a really fucking long time. Like, you never fucking know. They're being like extremely threatening to the mayor. And I think the mayor is a piece of shit, a little idiot who should resign immediately. but like that, I think there is something going on there with a clear power imbalance between Shea, the chief of police, and de Blasio. I think there's a fight happening that has no clear resolution yet at all, you know.
No, absolutely.
It's kind of like incredible, really. If the people who have the power most right now are the people protesting, are the people in the streets, like it's pretty incredible, the situation, like, you know, having gone to Black Lives Matter protests since 2014. This is so clearly different than anything we've seen from police brutality protests. Every single city, like countless countries, like random ass, like places that, like, you know, are extremely,
yeah, like the scale and magnitude of this,
like extremely conservative places, yeah. Red states, like red towns, like in Long Island, like, or like where it's cop country, like it is, yeah. There are demonstrations happening, like it's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, it's like there most of all, because it makes sense that in cop country, it's not that everyone unanimously agrees that they want to have this experience with law enforcement. It's just that this is what's happening, and the people who are in disagreement are just completely, like, shoved aside. And now it's like, oh, well, you've got backup.
Yes, you got backup. Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, and people have nothing to lose. People are home right now and, like, have no excuse also to not be out there if you're, like, in a more privileged background, you know?
Well, it's just kind of like, it's like there's also nothing left to lose,
yes.
Which is sort of, I mean, it's scary to think about the way that we're basically inciting a next wave of the virus. But, you know, we don't really have any other option.
We don't have a choice because we saw how the state handled the first wave, and the second wave is inevitable no matter what, right? It's like they were trying to get
people, exactly,
to go back to normal, quote unquote, on the 7th anyway. And it's like, at least these are outside and everyone's like wearing a mask. Except for the cops.
Except for the cops, yeah.
Like, we're more likely to get COVID from the fucking cops. Like, seriously.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's just absolutely insane that they don't even care about themselves.
Yeah, no.
What's wrong with them?
You know, like, that's what's so insane. It's like, at least with, like, the transit workers and, like, grocery workers, like, they won, like, a lot of pretty substantial safety, reforms in their workplaces, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not perfect by any means, by any stretch, like, but they have the clear power on their side to win protections for themselves, you know?
Which, yeah, should have just been offered to
immediately,
them.
Immediately, yeah,
with,
of course.
But, yeah.
My God. It's truly wild. Yeah, fuck.
Hey, how about that black square, though?
Oh,
you know?
Gotta put the black square. Yeah, you know, that's really doing it. Apple Music, yeah. Solidarity with Apple Music.
Yeah.
Solidarity with Atlantic Records. You know, solidarity with all my favorite brands. Chevron. What are some other ones?
Oh,
like,
God.
I love when, like, these brands that are, like, just so extremely violent are, like, have to post, like, a little status.
I know. It's the best.
It's so funny.
I also love all of the people who are, like, really nervous and they don't really, like, participate in any kind of leftist culture. So they're like, I guess I'll just post Black Lives Matter and then I'll just go back offline for a month.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just yeah.
Like, I get kind of, like, overwhelmed with, like, the folks who just share, like, the massive amounts of, here's a bunch of resources, here's this. And I'm like, I don't know if that really helped much either. Maybe it's helping those people who just post the black square and don't know what else to say. Maybe it's helping those people.
There's a lot of entry-level information sharing going on, which leads me to believe that everyone thinks kind of, like, not much of each other.
Yeah, right?
It's like, guys, it's okay. We don't have to talk about, like, I don't know, just it's really confusing about the way that, like, whiteness is being centered at this time.
Yes, dude.
And I've been thinking a lot about that in terms of, like, well, you know, I know that I'm actually dealing in my day-to-day life directly with trying to help my comrades through situations that are like really incredibly fucked. So I don't have time to consider if I'm like good or not, because I'm just working.
You just have to do it. You just have to actually go out there and do it. Like,
yeah, it's like I'm literally going to up to the police and being like, hi, you made a mistake. Where's my friend? Like, you know, once and I get that a lot of people are not given those kind of like positions that they are in other situations where maybe they're just taking care of their families and they realize that they've been,
I mean,
they've been sort of like wrapped up in surviving, and there's no shame in that either.
Of course not. Yeah. I've gotten into some like uncomfortable conversations, like, cause I've just been taking this as the opportunity to be like, yes, this is awesome. You're out in the streets. Hey, the people looting aren't bad. They're actually great. You know, like, I've just been like taking, like, to going like a step further with like the people in my life who I respect enough to confront them and be like, hey, actually, your sign about like voting might be a little tone deaf in this moment. And here's why. I mean, like, take it or leave it, but I'm just putting it out there. My perspective, maybe there are people have other perspectives, but I think that, this is not the, you know, like, like we tried voting a lot, actually. And we tried really, really hard work with electoralism.
But it's also, it's like, yeah, of course, don't stop trying. Like sure. It only takes 10 seconds to vote anyway. I mean, not, you know, like on a regular day, it takes way longer if you have to wait in line. But now it's just all mail-in voting is being implemented. So it's like, yeah, sure, of course, like, check the box, put the paper, like, good, you did it, but there's so much other stuff to do, and it's also, like, you know, if you don't want to march, or you're afraid of spreading the virus to your elderly family members, or you have children to take care of, and you don't want to get arrested, or you don't want to get beat up, or whatever, it's okay, like, of course, try, you know, just donate to a bail fund, also, takes 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah,
like,
and it is amazing people are stepping up in all those ways. This was, like, a situation where somebody was taking signs to a protest that said, Black votes matter, and don't be silent, don't be violent. And it's like, that just doesn't... I don't know. Like, if I respect you and I see you posting that sort of stuff, I'm going to talk to you about it because I respect you. And I think that you do understand the situation in a more complex way than like your average like lib, who isn't actually engaged. Like,
Yeah. Did you just tap them and go like, psst, hey, buddy, you're doing it wrong. We all go to the protest and we chant NYPD.
Suck my dick.
My dick.
The new one is, listen, I'm a commissar of Antifa, and I'm here to inform you that the newest chant is NYPD suck my dick. And it's taking on like by storm. And that's the new line now. Just, you know, head of corporate wanted me to pass that down to you.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of my roommates about it this morning, and we're like, yeah, you know what? It's actually a little bit traumatizing to think about a cop sucking my dick. Like, I'm not really sure if I'm comfortable with this one.
Like, we gotta break out the Tom of Finland stuff. Maybe I'll print a bunch of Tom of Finland pics, just throw those on a sign.
Yes! Like, oh my God.
Carry those around.
That would make it fun. Because I was just thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know, is this like kind of spinning off like, oh, the police reform is like you get pulled over and the cop is like, I'm sorry, you were going 60 in a 35, I'm gonna have to suck your dick. It's like, oh officer, but I'm late to work. They're like, it's only gonna take a second. I'm really sorry. Just gotta go through with this. You know, budget cuts. We don't have any guns anymore. Gonna have to, you know.
This is the future Antifa wants.
Yes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I thought about it though, and I, you know, just to touch on the black square thing again, because I was like, oh, actually, I'm gonna post one of those because I'm not really doing anything on Instagram right now since it's kind of like my art store.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like kind of the ability for people to have like a renunciation of posting about themselves for a second. Just be like, oh, hey.
That's legit, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there should be some way for people to say, yeah, look, I don't want to post pictures of police violence. I don't want to post pictures of like people who have been victimized. I don't want to post fires. I don't want to post like about this situation. I just want to participate in life, but also let you know that I stand in solidarity. So I'm just going to be like, hey, just here's a little square to say like in the caption what's going on, and then don't hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Don't do the thing where you're clogging the feed.
Yeah, but if, yeah, but it's like for all the artists listening who just want to be like, you know, don't worry, you don't have to like switch up your thing and start filling your aesthetic vocabulary with images of violence. Like, and that's an important thing for people who are taking in specific imagery and they maybe like don't want to mess their brains up with, you know, just because they think that that's like a service or something. You're still fine to focus on whatever you are working on, but just if you don't feel comfortable putting that in the main feed right now, just talk about it, you know, and like that's okay too.
Yeah, everyone, like, it's cool, everyone's like posting their thoughts, like it, people who I never would have expected. I just everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. And it's sort of like funny to see who is a little bit rusty or like, yeah, yeah, like, oh, cute.
Yeah, or yeah, yeah, it's just, yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, yeah, I get, yeah, the people who are rusty, like, I think that's like sort of who I was talking about before. It's just like, like, you can, like, you know, I've been paying attention to this stuff consistently this whole time, and like, this is my perspective, and I want to talk to you because I respect you, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. And then usually people will be like, oh yeah, that's true, I see you around, like,
yeah, yeah. And it happened again, like, because, you know, I've just been like full on like, yes, expropriate the businesses, like, and I'm just like going all out, I'm just like, yes, this is good, looting is actually good. Like, I'm just like, yeah. I'm going like full on the other end so that like people on Facebook could see other perspectives, you know, diversity of ideas, you know.
Oh, that's so generous. Yeah, I got a really weird take from somebody, which was that, like, actually, you know, expropriation of resources is extremely sad because it's a sign of so much torment. And I was like, motherfucker, where was your sadness before?
This is already happening!
Yeah, like, this is the happy this part where everybody finally gets, like, something that they deserved. You know, like, This is the relief part where the resources come back to them after all of the labor that's
it
been,
rocks. Not like, to mention like all of us like just passing around unemployment, passing around SNAP. Like, you know, that's like, you know, we're all doing redistribution. Like, all of us who can't afford to are doing it. The people who can't afford to aren't, and that's like something we need to keep pushing until it's happening for real. Like, and we, cause we have them on the fucking ropes. It's time.
Yes, it's true.
It's amazing, frankly.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I don't know. We're going into probably some kind of martial law after this, but, you know, we'll see. It's
a major political figure hasn't been assassinated yet. Like, is that coming, you think?
I don't even know what political figure could be assassinated to make a difference.
No, I don't think, not necessarily make a difference, because I don't think there's like a major leftist political figure for them to assassinate, like Martin Luther King or whatever. Like maybe if Bernie had challenged them in a real way, something would have happened there. But like, just like some sort of coup, some sort of like big political shakeup. I wonder if that's coming.
Well, I just don't understand what big political shakeup could occur.
That isn't already occurring.
It's already done. Yeah. It's like Trump is fortifying the White House.
The National Guard has a higher presence in the United States than like any of the conflicts overseas.
Yeah, the National Guard is like surrounding him. There's at least, I don't know, I saw the photo from this morning where there were dozens of them inside of one of the offices hallways of the White House because
it was
raining outside.
Yes. Poor babies. Yeah. It was raining.
Well, they wear all of that stuff. I'm sure it gets pretty heavy when it's wet, you know.
But they are literally babies, yeah. Also, it's like fucking poor teenagers from Utah who are in DC right now. It's disgusting.
Oh god,
it's
know.
Gross.
Yeah,
I feel bad for some of them, not all of them.
Yeah, they don't really know what they're getting themselves into. But the thing is, the political coup already happened in 2016,
right.
And now like Trump has been systematically firing everyone who is even remotely contesting his like every whim. So at this point now we've got an entire like, you know, the Republicans have the Senate, like the House is just sort of on the ropes, not able
Nancy
to really
Pelosi
like, pass
is a Republican.
Anything. Yeah,
also.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
Fuck her.
I mean, but she tore up that piece of paper.
Queen, she has a rhinestone mask and a freezer full of ice cream that donated to Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. Yeah, and so it's just it's like there's nothing to do about it because the whole entire system is disintegrated to a point where like
I think that's why I got so mad about the voting sign, because it's just like it's clear that people have vote, like, you know, we voted for Obama and all of the, you know, Baltimore, Ferguson, like Standing Rock, like, you know, voted for Bernie, and it was, you know, complete sham primary that everyone saw it, despite the fact that mainstream media really tried their best to shield like people from it. Not enough people watched that garbage for it to matter, because everyone saw it happen, like, again. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
They saw, you know, people know that Obama made 3 phone calls. Like, you know, this is all shit we talked about on previous episodes. But it's like, you know, this is it. Like, this is like, these protests are our last shot. And everyone knows it. Like.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. There's nothing to be done except for give it our best shot. But after this, honestly, we either, I mean, you know, don't fight to thinking that we're going to
win. Yes, there's no telling what, you know. That's the thing. You fight anyway. You try to fight your landlords, even though you might lose. You try to fight your workplace, even though you might get fired. And you got to try. Sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it from me, it sucks, dude. I lose a lot.
Yeah. Big old losers. Listen to us. That's all right though. We're
winning in other ways. I'm doing great now.
Oh, dude, yeah. Dude, I have a room I can fit a desk in now. And I got a bed
frame.
That
rocks.
Yeah,
moving
updates.
On up.
Yeah, to everyone who was with us on that chapter of the saga, I now have a bed frame. 2020, it's different.
Oh my god! But yeah, you know, I'm in a stable place for at least a year, So I'm going to use this as an opportunity to step my game up, try to be more proactive, get more, you know, content together. Cause I don't have a fucking job anymore. And I probably can't get on unemployment cause I made so little at my jobs.
Yeah.
I am going to work for the Board of Elections on the 23rd.
Oh, enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy getting that COVID and dying. No, I'm going to be very, very, very careful because it's who the fuck knows. I think people got the memo. I think a lot of people are doing mail-in. There's also early voting in addition to mail-ins. And I have a feeling there's not going to be a lot of people who show up to vote in person, especially where I live, which is like,
right. Out in the hinterlands.
Yeah, I'm basically in the suburbs. It's insane where I've had to move. Yeah, there's a lot of important work happening. Even if you're like not comfortable going to the protests, like people still need grocery runs. Families still, you know, are millions in the millions, like totally underreported figures, by the way, about unemployment. The reported figures are bad enough. You got to also think about all the undocumented folks, and all of them are suffering greatly and need grocery runs. And a lot of the times, like our group, for example, doesn't want people who are going to the protest doing the grocery runs because we're trying to mitigate the COVID risk. So if you aren't comfortable getting arrested, maybe you're undocumented yourself, or have family members who are that you don't want to put into jeopardy. This is like another way to help. Like, you know, maybe you're immunocompromised but you still have to go to the grocery store anyway, you know. there's only so much risk we can mitigate, especially with an uncooperative and murderous government.
No, absolutely. And one of the nice things that I've been hearing from people in other areas is like that a lot of their mutual aid support networks have actually been like reporting that they have an overabundance of support right now. Yeah. And yeah, it's like a very heartening time, you know, and there's no reason to slack on that or to like, you know, think that you don't have to, you know, keep adding to the stockpiles of food that we're bringing to people. But like, it is nice to know that everyone is becoming involved and,
we'll reach more people. If we have stockpiles, we'll reach more people, you know? There's
exactly.
Flyering teams, there's outreach teams, there's, you know, fundraising teams like that. We'll just keep going, you know. If we have the capacity, we'll just reach more people who need help, because there's not a shortage of people who need help. There really isn't. It's insane.
Right.
But yeah, it was awesome to catch up, Lucia.
We're still alive. We did it.
We made it. We're doing it. We're keeping each other safe. We're keeping our neighbors safe. We're fighting, you know, fighting the landlords, fighting the cops. Like, all of it is inextricably linked, because, you know, can never forget, like, the main thing that like the ruling class wants is to protect private property. And the more we dismantle that, the better it is for abolition, for, you know, for a better world for everyone.
Yes.
And with that, I guess we'll say goodbye. Support us on Patreon if you want. You know, I'm unemployed. I'm gonna step up my content. I'm still, you know, we just set up internet. Our router was delayed by like 4 days, and now I am going through all of my shit and cleaning my house. But then I hope to just like be available online to folks, just like keep having conversations and you know, meeting up with people carefully, distantly, you know. There's a lot we can be doing locally right now, and if folks want to get involved, yeah, hit us up.
Totally. And yeah, I am not super on all platforms, but if anybody wants to join the reading group, we are talking now about the way that human rights were developed in the Enlightenment and ways that people, struggled and fought through various revolutions and cultural movements to get to the point where we are today. So if you ever want to take a break from the enormity of the moment and start to contextualize it.
Yes, theorizing and contextualizing is still necessary.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit tough because the reading group has been dealing with so many, arrests and fucking housing issues and just general intensities because everybody is in different cities that are being impacted in different ways. So yeah, we're slowly but surely making our way through Art and Bear Life. And if anybody wants to hop on, we welcome newcomers.
That rocks. I want to hop on now that I'm in a new home and pretty stable.
Weird.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in again. Let's have fun out there.
Let's have fun, lots of fun.